Indeed, God did not send the Son in the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Let us pray. God, give us hearts to know your love, ears to hear your whispers, eyes to see your glory, and lips to speak only your truth. Amen. Our gospel lesson today includes one of the most famous lines of Scripture. John 3:16, I have priest colleagues that put wigs on and pretend like they're pretend like they're at a football game. The American football, not the world's football. And they hold up those signs because it's such a well-known piece of Scripture. But I think that indeed, God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save it, that's 3:17, is a necessary part of what we hear in 3:16. It's a necessary part because these two lines of Scripture together sum up the whole of the gospel. The whole of our story of salvation, really. If they had these two pieces of Scripture at Nicaea, I wonder how much easier it would be for us to remember the creed if it was two lines instead of however many there are. It sums up what salvation is. And we also today had one of our shortest lessons from the Old Testament that we have all year long. Usually that's one that's filled with all sorts of names and histories. And this is a little brief conversation between Abram, before he's Abraham, mind you, between Abram and God. And it ends, so Abram got up and left as God had told him to. And Lot went with him. That's a pretty simplistic explanation. It's short. We're here in Lent in a season where everything else that we do is a little bit longer than usual. From our worship service and the prayers that we do at the beginning, our confession is a little bit longer because we say the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments at the beginning, and pray for the strength to hold these laws and to keep these laws. And then we get our readings today, and they're all short and to the point. And there's something special, I think, about that. And our gospel starts out before it gets to the summation of all of salvation, which is a pretty big deal. There's Nicodemus. Nicodemus, who we're told comes to Jesus by night, presumably so he's not seen, because we already know by now that his colleagues want Jesus' life. And then here he comes. And this is the same Nicodemus, mind you, that is at the cross when Jesus is crucified and is thought to be believed as one of the ones that brings him off of the cross and puts him in the tomb. So he does stay, even after the maybe scolding from Jesus that he gets today. We're never sure with Jesus, are we? Is it a scolding or is it an invitation? He's kind of a smart aleck, Jesus. It's never just one thing, is it? My guess is it's a little bit of a scolding and a little bit of an invitation. After all, he's still talking to Nicodemus when he tells him that God sent his only Son to save the world. Nicodemus hears that. But there's conversation about where the Spirit is and what it means to be born from above. And it's very confusing, but it's a big part of our baptismal theology. I point at the font. It's a big part of who we are, water and the Spirit. We are both invited and called to it. Water and the Spirit. Just as Abram was invited by God to leave his home and his comfort and his family and his life and live one of promise. And it's important to remember for all of us right now that Abram, when we get into his story, was already an old man. When Abram receives the promise that Paul talks about in his letter, the promise that he will be father to generations and to nations and kingdoms, he was old. Him and Sarai, his wife, they later become Abraham and Sarah. Little changes to names, big changes to life. They have never been able to have children. And that's part of the promise that God makes. Your life is going to be different. And Abram, I got to be honest with you, sometimes it's going to be a hot mess. But there's going to be good stuff too. And Abram, being this willing first pilgrim of pilgrims, we just get this little short reading. So he got up and did what God said. And Lot went with him. That's the movement that it took. That's them understanding that the Spirit is something that they can't fully just ask a bunch of questions and understand. We seek to understand God by listening to God, not by arguing. But again, let's remember that Abraham does argue with God from time to time, so we're forgiven when we do it. I know that I'm not the only one in the room that argues with God every now and then. And this Abram gets up and goes. And this Nicodemus, who came by night so no one knew, stayed. And everyone knew. They answered the call and changed their lives. And I am forced today to also talk about another pilgrim who did that same thing. Because today it's International Women's Day, and none of our readings have a single mention of a woman. And it's kind of disheartening, but also we become used to it and desensitized to it, because most of the scripture is just telling the stories of the men. And every now and then we get a glimpse of the women that were really doing something, even though the men don't want to mention it. But yesterday was the feast day of Saint Perpetua and her companions. Perpetua was a Christian in roughly around 200 in North Africa who was martyred in Carthage. She was a rich woman. Well, her dad was a rich man. And she was a woman in this time, which means she really didn't have anything, but she was a person of influence and power. She followed the teachings of Christianity and came upon them and fully became Christian. And in living her life as a Christian, she proclaimed that she was a Christian. Now, this was the Roman Empire in northern Africa in 200. It was not popular to be a Christian. It wasn't legal to be one. Her father tried to convince her over and over and over again to renounce her faith so that she might be spared from any punishment that was coming her way. And she kept saying, I am a Christian because I've been called to be this. She's known for pointing at a pot and saying, could you call this by something else? And her father says, no, it's a pot. And she says, well, I am a Christian, and I can't be called by anything else. Her faith, just like Abram, and just like Nicodemus, and just like you and I, with what the Spirit tries to do with our lives, it pulls us out of our comfort zones, out of what life we expect for ourselves. Whether that's a relatively calm life, which we all often want, or a life of privilege and power, Christ and the Holy Spirit call to each of us to leave those spaces, to take the risks of the faith. Perpetua by the way, had, like, I think about a 2-month baby, 2-month old. Her family was powerful enough that at one point the baby came and lived with her in prison while she was waiting to be sentenced to death. She and her companions, one of whom gave birth the day before they were killed, stood firm in the fact that Christ had called them. For you and I, it's not all these big decisions. We don't live in a time and a place where claiming our Christianity and Christian faith ends with being thrown to a rabid heifer and then gladiators to finish us off. We are fortunate to not live in that time. But we still have these little calls upon our lives that take us out of comfort. We still have these calls that pull us from our families sometimes, or our friends, or just somebody asking us, well, you don't really believe that, do you? Make no mistake that when somebody asks you, you don't really believe that, do you? That's them asking you to recant your faith. While it's not as big and grandiose as it once was, these questions persist. These questions about who God is and what God's love means for us all are still important to you and I today. Because God so loved the world that God sent God's only Son that the world might be saved through him. He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it. That is the summation of our salvation. That is what's at stake when we're asked, well, you don't really believe that God loves everyone no matter who they love. And we answer, yes, as a matter of fact, we do. It's at stake when we're asked, well, you don't really think that God loves everyone the same, because I know that when I'm sick and I ask for prayers for healing, God doesn't always answer them, but this preacher says that if you love God enough, God will answer all your prayers and you'll have money and you'll be healthy and all this. So if I don't have that, that means I'm not loved by God, right? No, that's not right. God loves you just the same. It's those little moments that you and I will face today and tomorrow and every day. Keep track of them. Think of them when you're asked those questions. They seem innocuous to us. That means not a big deal. They seem like not a big deal when people ask us these questions. But what it is a request for you to recant your faith. For you to join them in making a decision about who God doesn't love. Or how God doesn't listen to some people. That is what we in this season of Lent, when everything we do is a little bit longer except for our readings today, that is what we do in this season of Lent when we reflect and examine how we can live more truly into our call by the Holy Spirit, both in baptism and in the altar and in every aspect of our lives. Most of us aren't called to big sacrificial martyrdom. But we are called to hold the faith, to share it, and to live it. Not just when we're here together, but when we go from this place. When we are challenged in the world, may we have the strength and courage to be prepared to answer in the affirmative when asked if we really believe those things about who God loves. For that is what's asked of us today. So Abram went as God had asked. And Lot went with him. And Perpetua went with him. And Nicodemus went with him. And you and I can go with him. Amen.